And now we'll transition back over to our phenomenal studio and studio guests, Carolyn Bradfield, co-founder and CEO of Interact Lifeline. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Justin. Happy to be here.
And you're actually a returning guest. You've been at least one time, right?
I have.
Yeah. She's a serial entrepreneur. Catherine is Catherine, my last guest. Carolyn is a serial entrepreneur and actually a very close friend of me and my family and my wife. I'm just thankful that you took the time out of your busy schedule. You have a lot going on. So
we do have a lot going on.
So, because you've launched a new company, so maybe give us 30 seconds to a minute. It's a social impact company, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So why don't you give us 30 seconds on your new venture or a minute on your new venture?
So the company is called Interact Lifeline, and basically we exist to help treatment organizations leverage technology to stay connected to their clients if they've been in substance abuse and addiction treatment, with the goal specifically of improving their recovery, reducing their relapse rate, and just improving their overall experience. So we have technology in three specific markets. One is in the treatment marketplace with addiction treatment companies. The second is in collegiate recovery, helping automate those programs so that they can serve more clients. And the third initiative will be launched in 2020. It's called Safety Net, and that's using technology to keep track and monitor at-risk adolescents and young adults to prevent them from using substances and the onset of the disease of addiction.
Yeah. Now, I love it. When you first shared your plan with me, you're striking the chord. I mean, you can't pick up a headline today, or you can't read a newspaper, you can't see without seeing the impacts of addiction on our society. And then from a budget standpoint, it's a significant growing issue from a budgetary standpoint as well.
Yeah, I mean, the impact to the U.S. economy with people that suffer from addiction is just right under $1 trillion a year. And that's in healthcare, it's in lost productivity, it's in the court system, and 70,000 people a year die from overdose, my daughter being one of them. So it's a huge, huge drain mentally, physically, and economically on our economy.
In our society. I mean, this is a very serious topic, but I actually watch live PD. And when you watch these, I watch a 3-hour police show. When I cook dinner for my family, I love to cook every night that I'm home, but I put on this show in the background as I'm cooking. Literally drug overdoses and drug offenses are, 50% of the show. It's just, right. They're always responding to either car accidents due to, drugs or drunk driving, domestic issues. Drugs are usually involved, or just overdoses, and how much Narcan is used. I mean, literally, that's 56% of our police response. So, right. I mean, $1 trillion, I would say, is simple and easy a number to achieve, just by seeing how overloaded our judicial system is, our police, our enforcement, and never mind our health. I mean, and what it means to our health care in general. So, I certainly see. So, you're addressing a significant issue in our society, and you're a successful entrepreneur. So, you put that together. Obviously, it's going to be a phenomenal opportunity watching you take off here.
Thank you.
So what, and you touched on this a little bit, but what healthcare or health IT trends are you seeing in the industry?
Well, I'd like to actually comment on another company that we own called Convey Services, because basically, that company exists to provide a connection between suppliers in the telecommunications, cloud, and IT services with independent sellers who go into the healthcare sector and sell services. And so some of the trends that I'm seeing, I'll give you three specific ones, and then we'll talk about how it applies to mental health. Trend number one is streamlining and improving the patient experience in the way that they communicate with the facility. So, for example, typically you might have to call in, wait for a live operator, and engage with them. So unified communication technology and contact center management technology have come to the forefront. So now a patient connects with the hospital. If they need to talk to somebody live, their screen pops up. The person knows who they are, but they offer alternative ways to communicate. So it might be through texting. It might be through other electronic means. And the goal really is just to raise patient satisfaction with the way they communicate. The second big trend that we see being sold into the healthcare market is technology to streamline the way case managers stay in touch with patients once they have been discharged. You know, so I'll give you an example with a specific client. One of our telecom vendors or technology vendors works with Humana, who has to keep track of 500,000 patients, and they only have 2,000 case managers to do so. So they use technology, specifically texting technology, to outreach to these clients, ask questions, get a response, remind them to do things. And if they get no response or response that doesn't meet their care plan, then the case manager engages and gets involved. So it's that type of technology to prevent readmissions to the hospital. The third trend that we see is the IoT technology to track and manage assets. So just things simply like, where's my wheelchair inside of a hospital? Or putting sensors on equipment to proactively know when they need maintenance or when they might fail, so that you can make sure to manage your assets, which are an incredibly expensive mm-hmm. thing. So we see those three trends in the regular healthcare side. Unfortunately, in mental health, a lot of technology has not transitioned over for treatment centers to be able to take advantage of these process improvements.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's excellent. I completely agree. And you're literally every single guest. So what? Nine before you had brought up patient experience.
Right.
And that was this is a resounding theme. So anybody listening, if you're not helping to manage patient experience and patient, you know, that patient component of healthcare and consumerism, you're going to be missing the boat.
Well, let's talk about patient experience and mental health, because please. I think that's really very important. So if somebody goes to rehab, you know, their disease is treated like an acute condition. They spend 30 days, they spend a lot of money, and then they exit the program with very little connection back to the program. So they've come from very significant structure inside the program to lack of structure, and they really don't know how to manage their recovery. They don't know how to, manage their treatment after that, and they're just not connected to the program that they trusted to treat them. So that patient experience for 30 days is great, but because this is a chronic versus an acute disease, it just doesn't carry forward. So technology really needs to be injected into that equation so that staff can become more efficient, like the Humana example that I gave you, and people mm-hmm. can better stay connected and educated about how to execute a wellness strategy to stay in recovery and improve their experience.
So following that track, you know, what are a few best practices or strategies can you share for my audience to be able to navigate that and those trends there?
Well, on either side of the coin, I mean, I think what people need to do is look at where processes are manual and find technology to automate those processes. I mean, oftentimes change happens not by the fact that technology is so brilliant or so great. It's just that we need a process change. And technology is the only way, in my opinion, to leverage improvement there, because, you know, it's at the end of the day, it becomes an inexpensive decision to make versus go and try and staff up and stay, you know, keep more staff in order to do this. So again, back to the Humana example, I don't know how many case managers they had before technology was right. implemented, but I guarantee you 2,000 case managers can't keep up with 500,000 people if all they have in their arsenal is the ability to pick up a phone and try and call. The second big thing I would encourage people to do is look at the devices that people are using today to communicate. Yes. You know, you look at the adolescent and young adult population, which are the ones that tend to be in addiction treatment. 95% have constant access to a smartphone. Yeah. 88% have constant access to a laptop or desktop. So you've got to use the technology that they're using to stay connected to them. And I would highly suggest that people investigate, you know, what mobility strategies that they could use to stay connected to their clients. That's why business texting and HIPAA compliant outreach from application to application is just so critically important to understand what those technologies will bring.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think we're even using smartphones when we're working with health systems to manage even some of their providing care for the homeless population. They don't have access to much, but they always have many of them have cell phones.
Always.
Yes. And so we can actually manage them better and give them better care. And we use their smartphones and sometimes even reaching out in community services through Facebook, because a lot of them have Facebook pages.
Right.
So they have nothing else, but they got a smartphone and a Facebook page. And so we actually can, from the health system, wants to reach out and educate them about what services are available to them. They do that, you know, via Facebook because of their mobile phone, bringing up your example.
Exactly.
Of using the smartphone and being smart about it. So in our closing few minutes, just thinking beyond today, I mean, you're a great innovator and leader and entrepreneur. What do you see as a key strategy or trend that we must be ready to successfully navigate in 3 years from now?
Well, I think what you're going to start to see is the patients taking on much more responsibility for their own care. And so if you empower them with technology to do so by giving them ways to communicate, by giving them ways to educate themselves, to keep reminded about what they need to do to stay healthy, mm-hmm. then it takes the burden off the healthcare provider to do that. And so my belief is you'll start to see these mobile applications, portal networks, and educational opportunities become more prominent, but I think the goal is to empower the patient to be the best steward of his or her own care.
That's excellent.
Not only on the healthcare side, but on the mental health side, so they know what to do to stay healthy.
You're spot on. That's fantastic. Where's your new company? Where do you intersect with all this?
The new company has launched, and we're in pilot programs right now with 6 collegiate recovery communities, big organizations like the University of Alabama, Kennesaw State here in Atlanta. We're launching our pilot program with treatment centers October 1st, and we're building out some of the more interesting sides of our mobile technology, specifically with devices and wearables that will give you the opportunity to detect potential overdose and alert everybody and their brother so we can reduce the number of deaths that we experience today.
That's excellent. And that's Interact Lifeline. That's your new company.
That's correct. Interact Lifeline.
Fantastic. Carolyn, thank you very much for joining me in studio. Carolyn Bradfield, president and CEO and co-founder of Interact Lifeline. Thank you for joining us. You're always a great ally of my show and me personally. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it. Carolyn Bradfield from Interact Lifeline. Thank you.